2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. You know, this is a powerful teaching that we've been teaching in the last, what, month and a half? How many people has it been helping? Raise your hand. I don't mean to put nobody on Front Street, but my wife read something that Sister Tasha wrote on Facebook the other day, and it brought tears to my eyes. It just blessed me so much. You know what I mean? And I believe, come on up here, Sister Tasha. Will you come up here and say what you say? Give her a hand clap. We got a microphone. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, I might cry. All of my life, I have always wanted a father, and my father died like a few months when we met each other, and so it was really emotional and devastating, like traumatic for me. And so I've always given my body to different men, and you know, I've been sexually abused and things like that, just went through a lot of hell. But when Pastor Claude was teaching about the intimacy of the Holy Spirit, he was saying that God is concerned about our singleness, and you know, there are times when it's hard for me because I'm a single mom, and sometimes I would feel really lonely and really by myself. And so when he was saying that, I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to yield that part of my life to you, and I'm not going to give my body to men anymore, and I'm not going to cling to men to try to find love. But I told God I was going to cling to the Holy Spirit, and I was going to allow him to teach me about love, and not in a way of a desperation out of my hurt and out of my wounds, but I was going to cling to him, and out of a yearning, you know, and a thirst for him, a desire for an intimacy where only I can find connection and intimacy through the Holy Spirit, you know, through a healthy relationship with my church family and friends, but not through the world and trying to find intimacy and love through the world. And so I really appreciated that. It was like epiphany, you know, light bulb, like enough is enough of that. Obviously, it has not worked. It doesn't help. And so, yeah.
That is so powerful, you know. Just to, you know, I'm convinced in this right here. I'm literally convinced that, you know, man, God just loves us. And when we receive his love, appropriate it, take it to ourselves, it doesn't matter what kind of person you are, doesn't matter what the condition of your life is, love is what changes us. It's his love. It changes us. You know what I'm saying? I remember hearing a story about a guy who was in prison, and he was on death row or something like that, and they constantly kept locking this guy up, you know, because he was fighting people and hurting people and hurting himself. Kind of like the story, the Isle of the Gadarenes, you know, where the guy named Legion was there. And, you know, I imagine people tried to help him. I imagine they had 12-step programs to try to help this guy. I imagine they had all type of systems of accountability based upon the systems of their time to try to help him. But it got to the point where they said, we can't help this guy. So they put him on the outer courts of the city and chained him up. He broke the chains, took the rocks, and started cutting himself. This man was in so much torment and turmoil demonically. But the Bible said when Jesus got off the boat and approached him, the man fell to his knees. See, when you have an encounter with God's love, and Jesus said, what is your name? And the Spirit spoke back and said, we are Legion, which means many, you know, theologically 2,000 to 6,000 demonic spirits inhabited this man. And Jesus cast the demonic spirits out of the man. And the Bible said the man was made whole. And in the very same hour, he was in his right mind. That's powerful. Because of an encounter with love. Somebody said an encounter with love. Now, we're still dealing with divine partnership. Because I want to stay on this because we need to know who's on our side. You know, you read scriptures like, if God be for me, who can be against me? You read scriptures like, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you know, we get churchology and all churchified, and then we just say those scriptures. But really, just think about it. If God be for me, then who can be against me? Now, let's appropriate that truth right there. who can mean bill collectors, who can mean the people that's talking wrong about you, who could mean whatever the negative situation or environment that you're in right now. If God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me, somebody say in me, than he that is in the world. Listen, didn't I say that you will not go through things, but the reason why the writer lets you know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world is because guess what? There's going to be challenges and persecution and turmoil, torment, setbacks, slow processes, delays, you know, all kind of stuff is going to happen in your life while you're in the world. But guess what? You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So what is the all thing that you're going through right now? Whatever it is, I can. You don't enter into that thing like I can't. I can't should not be in your vocabulary. Somebody tell me I can't. I just use them as a stepping stone to step up and show them I can. Now, it might take me a little bit of time, but I can. Come on, somebody say amen to this. And see, God wants you to know that he's for you. He's for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, our foundation scripture. Once again, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. One translation says, the amazing grace of the Master. This is the Message Bible. Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God. Tell your neighbor, say, his love is extravagant. Now, do you know there's actually a song out there called Your Love is Extravagant? Anyhow, it's powerful, man. And then it says, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Somebody say intimate friendship. Now, the word communion in the first verse that I read to you is translated partnership. Somebody say partnership. So the word communion means partnership. It means participation, fellowship, or intimate friendship. You right now have God Almighty living on the inside of you. You gotta think like that. When you accept him as Lord and Savior. Now, if you're in this room and you have accepted him, raise your hand. Just stick your hand up high. Listen, I'm about to say so. Put your hand back down. Now, I'm not asking you to solidify your personal performance. I'm asking you, have you ever at this church or any church ever asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Now, raise your hand. That's everybody in this room. Now, if you have done that, watch that. If you have done that, Christ came to live and abide on the inside of you by faith, the word says. You're going to read this today. When he came to live on the inside of you, all of success, all of anointing, all of prosperity, all of potential, all of wisdom, all of knowledge. The Bible says in Colossians, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus. All of that got deposited on the inside of you. Amen. In Christ Jesus, there is no failure. In Christ Jesus, there is no lack. In Christ Jesus, there is no want. In Christ Jesus, there is no sickness. In Christ Jesus, there is no disease or dis-ease. In Christ Jesus, there is never, ever failure. You want a scripture verse, Pastor? Give me a scripture verse, Pastor Claude. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells you in love, it says there is love never fails. Christ Jesus is love personified, and he's on the inside of you, so he never fails. No matter what the obstacle was, you can never ever find him failing in his walk for 3.5 years on planet Earth. You'll never, I mean, in his ministry for 3.5 years, you can never find him ever failing. You never find him ever caving in or quitting in the midst of satanic oppression and opposition. He never one time lost a battle. Even when he went to the cross, when Pilate was standing there before he went to the cross, he said, look here, he said, do you know who I am? Jesus said, listen here, cat, you don't know who I am. He said, you don't have power over me. I'm paraphrasing him. I'm Paraclaude phrasing it. He said, you don't got power over me. He said, no man takes my life. He said, I willingly lay my life down. Jesus died, and I told you this a couple weeks ago, this is a revelation for some people. Jesus died not just because he loved us. More importantly, he died because of his love for the Father. There is a place in our intimate friendship with God that we fall in love with him so much that we begin to see people the way he sees them. And we will never hurt them because we don't want to hurt him. I'm trying to tell you something powerful. This scripture tells us that you and I have the ability to have what? An intimate friendship. with the person of the Holy Spirit. Once again, just to recap, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune Godhead. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the most neglected personality in the Godhead. Now, this, I want you to picture this right here. Jesus came in his dispensation as our Son of Man in earth. He came, amen, and he ministered unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, amen. And he built them up, trained them up, taught them, amen. All of a sudden, the ministry spread out through the Gentile nations. The Apostle Paul took that mantle, spread that, amen, after Jesus had ascended, amen. The Holy Ghost came, and the Holy Ghost abided in the church. Now watch this right here. We are in the dispensation of the personality and the person of the Holy Spirit. So when we pray, we find ourselves saying, oh, God the Father, I love you so much. And I don't want to confuse anybody, because I remember when I was learning this in Bible school, they had me all confused with water, H2O, ice, you know, liquid form, evaporated water, and, you know, helping me understand the Godhead. It was really confusing. You know, egg, you know, you got the egg, then you can scramble the egg, then you can boil the egg, and all this other stuff like that. And they mess you all up and just get you all confused. But amen, here's the truth right here. God lives on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now catch this right here. And he's with you in your good and in your bad. Come on. He's with you when your marriage is good. He's with you when your marriage is bad. He's with you when your finances are good. He's with you when your finances are bad. Come on, somebody say amen. He's with you when you love people, and he's with you when you don't give a rat's fat butt about the person sitting next to you. He's with you in all of that. Amen. Somebody say amen. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The question is, and I'm just speaking prophetically, the question is this right here. Watch this right here. The question is, why don't we get the results that his word says? He's with us. He's for us. But in order to get his results, it requires agreement and appropriation. That means that we have to agree with him, because he's the Spirit of truth. But watch this. He'll be with you while you're stuck on stupid. I'm just letting you know right now. I remember being in the crack house in Belleville, Michigan, on Rawsonville Road. The house don't exist no more, but I'm in there with some of my family members, you know what I mean? And I remember being in the crack house reading the Bible. Come on, somebody say amen if you ever read the Bible in a crack house. Amen. I remember being in the bedroom of that same house. We had a sawed-off 12-gauge, and we had a little nickel-plated 25 with a pearl handle, and we were talking about taking over all of Belleville. I thought for real that I was Scarface. Amen. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to show you something. You know what I mean? I had no conviction at all. I opened up and read the Bible. I didn't have a revelation of who God was. I'm going way back there so that everybody in this room could be without excuse. I'm just showing you something right now. God loves you. God loves you. In the worst position that you ever was in, he loved you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Now, I want you to turn there right quick. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. This wasn't in my notes, but I just want to point it out to you as we go, because I'm going to talk about some things that are going to be so deep in Jesus' name. And it's 12:33, and we will be out here before 1 o'clock today. So bear with me in Jesus' name. Take your name, say neighbor. You have come to one of them two-hour churches. Amen. I'm going to tell you this right now. Thank you for that amen, Brother Lee. I heard Brother Lee say that amen. Because guess what? The place that this church is going, you better get ready for it. Because it's going to be going from 2 hours to 4 hours. 4 hours to 6 hours. 6 hours to 24-hour prayer. That's where we're going. Because the more we receive the love of God, the more desperate we become after his presence. And I was talking to Brother RJ today, one of the young ministers that we're going to be training up. And I was telling him today, he said to me, he said, you know what? He said, I'm just like you. He said, I got your same heart. Then he said this right here. He said, nothing is like God's presence. I said, whew, that's powerful. You know, sex is temporary. Can I be a real pastor right here? Sex is temporary. Do you know the Bible says this right here? Because I don't know why we get ourselves in trouble with stuff that's temporary. It's temporary. Amen. Come on. You know, it don't matter if you know. Amen. That brother back there, way more buff. Look, that brother back there, buff, man. You know what I'm saying? I remember him back in the day. You ever shake your hand with one of them guys that you shake your hand, and you like, praise the Lord, and after you leave, like, God, dog, you know? Man, what I got to do all that for? You know what I mean? But I mean, you know, don't matter how strong you are, don't matter how good looking you are, and you know what I'm saying? All that stuff is temporary. Come on, somebody say amen. It's temporary. But God's presence and God's love It is inexhaustible. I'm glad I learned how to read. You know, listen, it's inexhaustible. You know, back in the day, the teacher say, read some Claude Smith back. That's my name back then before I had to change my name, Claude Smith. That's how I used to do it for real. It was so much fear to read. And it's amazing he called me to be a pastor. That just blew my mind. You know what I mean? But I mean, his love is inexhaustible. That means that, guess what? You know, when you, if it's sex, you know what I mean? It's good for, you know, however long it is. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, see, y'all.
That's all right.
Come on, somebody get a load of hand clap, because, you know, amen. Amen. If it's food, it's good. You know, you could be hungry than a mug, but it's exhaustible. Because as soon as you eat that burger and them fries, you know, you're like, oh, my God, I shouldn't have ate that. You know what I mean? And then if you like some women, somebody say some women, you know what I mean? You don't just mash a whole bucket of chicken, a couple biscuits with a whole bunch of hot sauce. Take your chicken and put honey and hot sauce on it and bite into it. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, that's the stuff right there. But you done ate all this food and got all this food inside your belly. You know what I mean? And the woman feeling bad. She like, I shouldn't have ate all that. I got to lose some weight. I wonder if I step on the scale. Come on, somebody say amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's how y'all women's is. They know they is. You know what I mean? But watch this. Food is exhaustible. After you eat that food, it's exhaustible. But guess what? God's presence is inexhaustible. When you get in his presence, you don't run out. You always want more. The closer you get, the more you want. Come on, somebody say amen. And see, that's what the devil want to make you think, that your performance disqualifies you from coming into his presence. Lord. Amen. I told you, man, we're gonna dig deep today. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Look what it says there. It says, but God commended. Somebody say commended. Word committed means God put on display or exhibited his love toward us in that while we were what? Christ died for us. Look at verse 9. Watch this. What's the first word? Much what? Much more. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Now I'm going to give you a revelation right here. When you are afraid to appropriate God's love based upon your performance, you are smacking him in the face and counting his blood unworthy. He said, when you was yet a sinner, he died for you. Now you're saved. Much more are you saved. Oh, my God. Let's finish that verse. Look at this right here. He says, much more than being now justified by his blood. The word justified means you've been declared righteous. We shall be what? Saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were what? He said, when you were enemy, he reconciled you to God by the death of his son. Watch this. What's the words again? Much more being what? Now tell your neighbor, say neighbor. You have been reconciled by the blood. So I don't care what you're going through. This is for you. You shall be saved by his life. Word life there means resurrection power. Hear what I'm saying here. When you was in the worst condition ever in your life, God saw you valuable and said, I love you so much, I'm going to reconcile you. The word reconcile, one translation of reconcile means to make one again. I'm going to bring you back into right standing with me. Not based upon performance. And this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about, Galatians. Why am I talking about this? Because we're talking about this divine partnership. Because sometimes, most of the time, I'm telling the truth, ain't I, mama? Most of the time, the enemy will take, watch this, what you've done and flash that card up in your life so much that when you need to be pursuing God's presence because he is your only help, you feel disqualified. You feel condemned. You feel judged. But guess what? God knows who you are before you did what you did. Am I permitting you to go out and do what you want to do? No, I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you, if you did do it, then get up off your bonehead butt and run into the presence of God. Because I had to get up off my bonehead butt and run into the presence of God. I'm trying to teach you something right here. Because it's only his love and his presence that changes us. And it's funny, when I talk to people all the time, I'm on the streets and stuff, and, you know, I see people, I say, hey, man, why are you going to come visit me at my church? Oh, I'll come see you. I'm like, I want to see you this Sunday, 11 o'clock, or Wednesday at 7 o'clock, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And they don't want to come because they feel like what they do disqualifies them. But this is the best place to be. I don't care, and I'm going to say it again, somebody can misappropriate or take what I said wrong, but I don't care if last night you was out clubbing, you was shaking your thing, and you was doing whatever you was doing. Whatever you was doing, that's between you and God. Amen. My job is to get you here so I can open up my mouth and release some faith so that you can get helped. So you can get helped. Amen. Because didn't nobody help me with all that judgment stuff coming to the house of God? I went one time. I'm really going to get to my message. Am I helping somebody today? I went to a church one time on the east side. And I'm a Christian rapper. So I had on my, at that time I had like an iceberg suit on with my hat on, my earrings in my ears. You know, I had my swag. I walked into church. You know, I was, you know, I walked in fly because I'm the performer, you know. That's where my mind was back then. Somebody said that's where it was back then. You know, I'm a little different now, but I walked into the church, and soon I walked in, you know what I mean? I had my hat on, my do-rag on. I'm in the east side of Detroit, and then the lady come up to me. She had some white gloves. Somebody said white gloves. She had some straight-up Michael Jackson gloves. They was white gloves. You know what I mean? She had them white gloves, and she had like a badge on, like she about to arrest me. And she said, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, son, get your hat off in the church. I said, I'm the performer. She said, I don't care who you is. Take your hat off in the church. I said, yes, ma'am. I took my hat off. Then she said, get your do-rag off on the church. I said, ma'am, I'm the speaker. She said, I don't care who you is, take your do-rag off of the church. Well, see, you know what her problem was? What if I was an unbeliever? She was trying to clean the fish before you, got it caught. I said something about revelation right there. See, most of us try to get the scales off while they're still swimming around in the water. You got to get them out of the water on the hook. So guess what the hook is? It's God's love. So when you hook them and you get them in, then you start progressively allowing the Holy Spirit to cleanse them. Because when we try to be Holy Ghost Junior, we run people off. You know what I mean? Some of us take our judgment and our condemnation and we wrap it up in a ball of Holy Ghost Junior. The Lord told me you need to do this right here. God didn't tell you nothing. You just don't like what I'm doing. Maybe because it reminds you of what you do. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Good Holy Ghost love teaching. Amen. You know, I believe God is waiting for the day that it's just a whole bunch of crackheads, alcoholics, drug dealers, drug users, people getting out of incarceration. Everybody just pile up in the church. I believe he's just waiting for that. I believe he's waiting for rich people to sit down next to poor people. You know, stanky people to sit down next to people who smell good. Amen. Pizza eating people to sit down next to hot dog people. Black people to sit down next to white people. You better catch what I'm saying. I'm just waiting for the day that we got a whole row of homosexuals coming into the church. Why? Don't now hear what I'm saying. Don't misappropriate what I'm saying here. Amen. I didn't say that was from God because God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Catch what I'm saying? But God don't care who you are or what your perception of what you think you are. God only wants to get you to have an encounter with the God kind of love. Because when you come to where you are and you think that's who you are, guess what? When the word of God, which is the love of God, the image of God, is preached under the anointing, guess what? There's a wooing on the inside of you to pull out of what you think you are into who he knows you are. And see, that's the whole key right there. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, amen. Tell them to come on. I prophesy thousands upon thousands running into this house to hear the word of God. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are in partnership with the Holy Ghost. Now watch this right here. I'm going to say something here because I got like about 15 minutes and I'm going to dig deep today. Somebody say divine partnership. You can subtitle this message, Jason. And this is very important that you do this right here because this right here is a little bit scarier what I'm going to talk about. Somebody says scary, y'all. Halloween scary. Amen. Here we go. It's going to be good, though. I hope you got pens and paper here. The subtitle of this message is going to be called No Strings Attached. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. When you get there, somebody say, bless the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16. Through 21. This is powerful. You ready? Say, neighbor, say, I'm ready. Now, I want you to put verse 18 and 19 in the Amplified Version up there for me because we're going to read that. Ephesians chapter 16, chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. It says here, it says that he would grant, you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Somebody say inner man. Watch this, that Christ, the word Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. Old Testament, Messiah. New Testament, the anointing. That the anointed one and his anointing may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted. Somebody say rooted and grounded in what? In love. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in love. Now, circle this word love here, because in the New Testament Greek, there are four different translations of love, and you already know them. But just in case somebody never heard me teach on love, I'm going to say them very, very quickly. This word is the word agape. Agape, which is the unconditional, I call it unconditional, irresistible force of love. That's what I call it. Because agape loves you no matter what. Unconditioned means without conditions. You got to catch what I'm saying here. The only thing in God's word that is unconditional is his love. All of his promises are conditional. That's what you always hear. If you do this, I will do this. If you do this. So watch this. God's love is inexhaustible, but his promises are conditional. Okay? Now, why is it important for us to understand that? Because when the promise is not active in your life, it makes you think that the love is exhaustible. Here's what I mean. Layman's terminology. God must don't love me because this is not happening in my life. Has nothing to do with his love. His love is what? Unconditional. Irresistible. It's inexhaustible. But his promises, watch this, are conditional. Are you understanding this right here? His promises requires obedience. Let me make it easy. Am I helping somebody? Let me make it easy. My children. I love my children unconditionally. They are my children no matter what they do. Watch this right here. But I'm not going to award them, amen, if they aren't appropriating things right in their life. If that's the right word I'm using there. No parent, no good parent will award a child if things are out of order. You hear what I'm saying? So the promises are conditional. Somebody say promises are conditional. But the love is unconditional. So watch this. Don't use the absence of the promise as a validation of the love. I just said something real powerful there. He loves you no matter what. But in order for you to walk in fullness, God requires, just like we require from our own children, maturity. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. Somebody say maturity. Now, this is good right here. This is good right here. The Bible says here, right here, that we're rooted and grounded in love. The Amplified says to be established in love. It says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Somebody say comprehend. With all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? Now watch this. God's love has breadth, length, depth, and height. Watch this right here. Now the word love is agape, unconditional, but then there's the word storge or stergo, which is a family type of love. But then there's the love phileo, which is a friendship type of love, where we get the word Philadelphia from. Then there's the word eros, which is a sexual, erotic type of love. Watch this. I'm going to say this is very important here. This is especially very important. It's for everybody, but women, please listen to me. That if a man says he loves you and he don't love God, he don't love you. He eroses you. I'm going to say something powerful to you. Nowadays, we got to flip it over to women because women are they just as guilty as men. Come on. Amen. I was telling them down to the day in the high schools now what women are doing, or young girls are doing, is they keeping record of how many boys they sleep with. I tell you, I'm just a real pastor. They keeping record of how many boys they sleep with. They got like a little challenge against each other. Who can sleep with them first? Who can keep the pack first? You hear what I'm saying? And we just saw this one thing, pregnancy pack, where, you know, all the friends getting pregnant at one time. That's like ignorance and stupidity, deaf, dumb, and gone deceived. All of that. Listen to what I'm saying. The reason why that stuff happens is because there's no father in the home. And I don't want to teach on this, but you can't preach the word without talking about the absence of a father. Because women are not built to father. Women are built to nurture and to love, and you catch what I'm saying? But fathers are built to give you boundaries and corrections. So when my daughter says, Dad, are you proud of me about my grades? Yeah, I'm proud of that D, but I want it brought up to a B. I'm giving her direction and correction. You see what I'm saying? But my wife, she's more concerned about, and I'm just using us as an example. She's more concerned about awarding her for her accomplishment. Me, I'm more concerned about getting her to her destination. So when she sees somebody on TV, I'm not putting my daughter on Front Street, but when she sees somebody on TV who is successful, I have to back up and say they're not really successful at all. Because if they had good parents, guess what? Their parents wouldn't allow them to expose their body like that, talk like that, portray them kind of images like that. No matter if they on TV, their parents wouldn't allow them to do that. And I said, but their parents have no values, therefore they let them do that kind of stuff. But in my house, we going to serve the Lord. You gotta catch me right here. So we are in the day of the fathers, because when the fathers get back in order, all this stuff going to be right.
That's right.
It's all going to be right. So when they say, I love you, and they don't love God, they can't love you because they don't know love.
Right.
God is love. If you don't know God, you don't know love. And see, love is complicated. Love has breadth, height, length, and depth. And most of us never tap into God's kind of love because it's too complicated. You gotta catch what I'm saying. It's unconditional, but yet it's complicated. Why? Because in order to know God's love, it requires you to know Him. Because He is love. That means that you're going to have to learn how to navigate a personal, intimate relationship of acquaintance with Him. Sound like Bishop T.D. Jakes, didn't it? Get ready. I'm just joking. Amen. So He told us to comprehend the love, right? Amen. He said, with all saints, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love. Somebody say, know the love. So there's two things He said. He said, comprehend it. Somebody say, comprehend it. And then He said, know it. It's not enough to comprehend. The word comprehend means to take to oneself, to receive, or to apprehend. Now, God is telling us to receive His love. Somebody say, receive it. Okay, now listen, you and I are incapable of loving without receiving love first. We are empty. We think we know love because we think love, we attach it to a feeling. So when you're in high school and you're 16 years old and you see her and her eyes sparkling and you don't watch that TV program, you know what I'm saying? And you know, back in the day, you know, we used to have songs. Let me see if I can pull one out of my mental Rolodex. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can pull one up because I've been renewed in the mind. But anyhow, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. We had them. Oh, you know. Can you stand the rain? Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My. You sure look good tonight. That's my day. See, now y'all got all them, you know, lick me, touch me, suck me songs. Come on, somebody say it. Now, I'm sorry, man. See, people. See, I'm just gonna say it the way it need to be said because it's all messed all up. But I'm saying them the kind of songs we had. We had, you know, I love you. You know what I'm saying? You look good. The young lady dressed up in a dress or something. The young ladies had some kind of values. They had some kind. Somebody said some kind of values. You know what I mean? But nowadays, I meet you on the internet. Ain't never seen you. Don't know if you got two teeth in the front. You know what I'm saying? Don't know if you got one ear flipped over on the left side. You know what I'm saying? And you falling in love with a picture that you never. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You know what I mean? That's why these social networks, you better use them the way God wants you to use them. Because guess what? If you misappropriate what God is trying to do through social networking, what will happen is that we will take away intimacy. Because that's the purpose of the enemy. I'm showing you something. The Bible tells us the intimate friendship of God. And intimacy has different levels. Somebody say different levels. And I'm going to teach you the four different levels of intimacy today. But you got to understand that the enemy's plan, Satan's plan, he has strategically planned it. And I'm going to break down some things today that's going to show you over the next 10 minutes what's going on. Remember back in the day, you would go to the grocery store. And when you went to the grocery store, there was actually people at the lines. And guess what? The people smiled and they talked to you. But now you walk up to a machine. And everybody's like, everything is so convenient. No, it lacks intimacy. See, now that lets you know that the owners is not concerned about people. They're concerned about productivity. Because guess what? The enemy's job is to strip us of intimacy. Because if I connect with you, guess what? There's a certain level of companionship, constituency, camaraderie that we will have. Friendship, loyalty, association. Personal relationship. If I connect with you, but I got no relationship with that machine, so therefore I don't need intimacy. And see, and I said this about a month ago, our intimacy with God is a direct reflection of our intimacy with people. So, amen. So just like when you go to the grocery store, there's no people there to check you out. People come to church and don't hug nobody, don't shake nobody's hand, don't talk to nobody. They don't even have an altar call. They said, fill a paper out if you want to get saved. How you going to get saved filling out a piece of paper? I need somebody to lay my hands or lay their hands on me, transfer some kind of anointing. Read the book of Hebrews. It's the doctrine of laying on of hands. You got to catch me on what I'm saying here. But what is the enemy doing? He's trying to strip us of intimacy. Why do we want to strip us of intimacy? Because proper intimacy, I'm saying something powerful, will result in accountability. Accountability will result in responsibility. Responsibility will result in productivity, which is God's will, because he wants us to be productive and to bear fruit. But if I have no productivity, I got to back up and see, am I being responsible? If I don't have no responsible, I got to back up and say, am I accountable? Because if I'm not accountable to something, I can't be responsible. So we remove intimacy, the father leaves the home. He's no longer accountable, no longer responsible. Family is not productive. Come on, somebody say amen. So he's stripping us of intimacy. This ain't too deep, is it? He told us to comprehend. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God's love is extravagant, yet it's complicated. He requires your personal attention. I'm just trying to show you something here. Now, I want to give another example, because this is important right here. Business relationships. Somebody say business relationships. It used to be that if I did business with you, I was also personal with you. But nowadays, people say this is business and this is personal. The reason why they say this is business and this is personal is because they lack intimacy. When I have intimacy, my business is personal. That means if I clean your carpet or I change your tire or I do something wrong, I'm accountable to you because I'm intimate with you. Now, not based upon compensation, based upon intimacy, I'm back over your house correcting my error. This is powerful. And see, what we've done is we brought the business world into the church. And we said, this is business, this is personal. So now, under the cloak of business, I can do you wrong because it's classified business. I'm about my money. Well, you can go to hell with that. Just hear what I'm saying. I'm just being honest, because listen right here. Because the days of us operating like the world has to move out the way. They have to move out the way. Amen. Because, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, when we're praying, watch this. This is deep. When we're praying, God is going to respond with instruction. And when we follow through with instruction, we will get the results that God wants. Amen. But praying is not just enough, because praying gets us to the heart of God and the mind of God. But guess what? We have to apply the instruction that he gives us. So here is some instruction. God wants us to move out of the system of the world way of thinking and saying, this is how we do business. No, in the church, we don't do business like that. In the church, we are unorthodox. I might just come over your house and clean your carpet for free because I'm personal with you. I can't tell you how many hoods that I clean for free with my business. But guess what? I have done no marketing, and I got 71 or 72 customers that are long-term customers. Started off with a mop bucket and a business card in a city where they say there is no employment. You got to catch what I'm saying. Amen. Somebody say amen. This ain't too strong for nobody, is it? Now watch this right here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said that Satan's plan is to destroy all levels of intimacy. Now, the word intimacy, and I'm going to say something that's going to bless some of y'all people. Some people already know, but I want you to write this down. Intimacy should be better pronounced as into me, see. Into me, see. Because intimacy is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses, watch this right here, for someone else to see who you are and for you to see who someone else is. So intimacy could be better pronounced as into me, see. This is why people fear intimacy, because we want to keep our walls up so nobody can see the real us. You know what I'm talking about. Guy grew up in the suburbs, never even seen a gun. was afraid to pick up a water pistol, watch a 50 cent video, go shorty, you know what I'm saying, lift a couple weights, put a couple tattoos on, turn his hat to the side, all of a sudden he a thug. Come on, somebody say amen. And he stay away from people. He stay back from people because if he start being intimate with people, they're going to uncover him. See, I'm giving you some revelation here. What is the revelation in this truth that I'm bringing right here? God knows who you are. And you can run, baby, but you can't hide. When you get close to him, he's going to uncover you. See, you know what? I'm telling you, I done did it all, and I'm sure y'all done did it all. Amen. We done all wore masks, didn't we? You know, Halloween every day of our life. 365 days a week, Halloween, a year. Halloween. And I wake up this morning, I put on this mask, player mask. What's up, baby? Take that mask off. Put on the money-making mask. I'm about my money. Take that mask. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Put on the thug mask. What you talking about? You know, take that mask off. You know, put on the whatever. Everybody wear masks. Come on, somebody say mask. And the reason why the mask is there because intimacy is absent. And I told you, Satan's plan is to remove intimacy at all levels. Let me give you the levels right quick because you need to know this right here because I got to finish right now. Four different levels. Somebody say four levels. The first level of intimacy is association. This is when you and I connect based upon common interests. First level intimacy is when you and I connect based upon common interests. Amen. You don't really connect with people that you don't like and you don't have anything in common with. That's why we get these little sayings, birds of a feather flock together. You know, mama and them used to say them little sayings and we like, where did they get that dumb stuff from? But that's what they're talking about right there. Amen. People attract to themselves, or you attract to you whoever you are. So common interest is the first level of intimacy. Common interest. It's the place of association. The second level is the place of communication. Somebody say communication. When we have common interests, now we can sit down and talk. I don't even really like talking to people that I don't have anything in common with. You'll find that, amen? You press a no on the phone when they call. Come on now. Come on, raise your hand if somebody say amen to this. Y'all know, can the pastor just be real instead of getting up there with his tie all tight and like, turn your Bible to Mark chapter 4 and we're going to read the Bible today, amen? Well, we're going to talk about some stuff that's relevant. Relevant. Whoever pressed ignore before? Amen. So when y'all call me, don't be like, Pastor, you press ignore. Ha ha. No. We don't really like talking to people that we have nothing in common with. Amen. So after we associate with them, you know, for a while, and they have a common interest, you know what I mean? Then we start communicating. We start talking. Amen. We start communicating. Somebody say communicating. That's where we transmit or we exchange information. There's exchange of information. The third level of intimacy is participation. Somebody say participation. That's the stage of sharing, giving of oneself. Amen. When you really like somebody, you're not just there to take from the relationship. You're there to give to the relationship. You're not just there to pull a tomato off the plant, get a salt shaker and eat it and say that was good. You're there to dig in the ground and plant some seed. That's the stage of participation. Here is the final stage, the stage of revelation. The word revelation is the Greek word apokalupto, which means to take the cover off. The final stage of intimacy is when we take off the cover and we see who we really are and they see who we really are. It's the place of, how can I say it, the highest level of intimacy, revelation. Now, watch this right here. The enemy wants to stop all levels of intimacy. Because out of intimacy comes accountability. Hear what I'm saying? When I'm intimate with you, because I'm intimate with RJ, hear what I'm saying? We're past the stage of association. You see what I'm saying? We're past just the companionship. You know what I'm saying? We're over into the third stage of sharing. You catch what I'm saying? And then even into the fourth stage, when you really come close to somebody, with like Gerard and Stephanie and, you know what I'm saying, the other people in the ministry that know us, they get to see a side of me that people who don't know me don't see. See, the person who gets to that fourth stage will know the real you. You know, the real you that makes mistakes. I'm showing you something. The real you that might mess up one time. Come on, talk back to me. The real you that might make people mad sometime. the real you that might give your word with every good intention, but you don't have the power to keep your word. You meant well, but come on, somebody say amen to me. And it's funny how people will hold you to be something that they won't even be themselves. So instead of me going through the pain of developing as a person and learning how to master these four levels with you, because guess what? When I get that far with you, I'm accountable to you. I'm connected to you. That's why I tell people, you know what I mean? I tell people this right here. I said, do you love your wife? Yeah, I love my wife. I can't even ask them that question nowadays because there's so many wives that have been beaten and torn by their husbands. But hear what I'm saying. Do you love your wife? Yeah, I love my wife. Will you ever leave her? No, what you ask me that question for, Pastor? Why would I leave my wife? I love my wife. I said, well, why would you leave me? You said you love me. Why would you quit on me? Because you heard something. Well, I heard something about you. I didn't quit on you, but you heard something about me, and you quit on me. Well, Pastor, I love you. Well, wait a minute. If you love me, then we don't went down to that fourth level where the uncovering is, where you get to see the real me and I get to see the real you. I've exposed me. Evidently, you didn't expose you because now I see you. It's heavy, ain't it? That's why Satan wanted to destroy it. Because out of intimacy comes accountability. See, watch this. This is powerful. That's why God's love is conditional. I'm unconditional. I'm saying this is what is the foundation and the glue that keeps families together. Because people go through trying times. Some days you wake up in the morning, you look at your mate and say, Lord, have mercy. Jesus. Amen. I'm not saying something Pastor Rose wouldn't say. I'm saying what all of you in this room know, I'm telling the truth. Not with me, with you too. Amen. Nowadays, because of lack of intimacy, I cut you off. Say one wrong thing to me. Boom, I cut you off. You know what I'm talking about. You know what they say when I'm saying cut you off? No intimacy. You won't know nothing about me. I ain't letting my left hand know what my right hand is doing. They'll put that wall up in a minute. A big old brick wall, fortified with rebar in it. Won't let nobody in that wall. But the Spirit of God, watch this. The Spirit of God wants to take us through these four levels of intimacy. You hear what I'm saying? He wants to take us to those levels because he wants us to be accountable. Right? Out of accountability comes what? Responsibility. Out of responsibility comes productivity. So if we're not productive, that means we're not what? Responsible. If we're not responsible, it means we're not what? Accountable. How come we're not accountable? No intimacy. I don't want you to know who I really am. It hurts when I get to know people and they cut me off. Let me give you something. This is real powerful. And I'm going to close with this right here. Just because they don't want to open up shouldn't give you the, how can I say it? The mindset that you should not open up. You know what I'm saying? Because your relationship that you have with people is a direct reflection of your relationship that you have with God. Hear what I'm saying? If you can cut people off, there's no way you love God. There is no way. If you could talk to people on the kind of way, I can tell you right now, you do not love God. If you can break, I don't care, listen, you know, it's funny nowadays because, you know, we got these little black books that we call Bibles. Somebody say, he a real pastor. And they open up these little black books and we know three or four scriptures, you know, thus saith the Lord God. The Bible says that, you know, you'll prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You know what I mean? But then they get on the phone and cuss somebody out. You know I'm telling the truth. Ask them to be faithful to a church. Oh, heck no. I ain't got to be faithful to no church. I don't want that pastor knowing my business. You know why he don't want the pastor knowing business? Because he lacks intimacy. You know what I mean? I'm gonna get married. I tell everybody, you're going to get married. I want to meet your husband. I want to meet your wife. If they ain't faithful in church, I'm not going to prove it. I don't care how good they look. I don't care what they say. If he ain't faithful in church, I want to know his pastor. Come on, somebody say amen. Well, no pastor should have that kind of power. Yes, he should have that kind of power. You take it from Jesus. Yes, a pastor should. If I'm your spiritual father and you my spiritual son and my spiritual daughter and you about to marry some old butt wipe, hear what I'm saying? You about to marry somebody that has no accountability, no responsibility. Only thing they want to do, you know what they want to do. So I don't even have to say what they want to do. Many times men get in the church and stay faithful until he get in the bed with the girl. After he get in the bed with the girl, he gone from the church. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I mean? And she made that decision because she lacked intimacy with God the Father. She lacked intimacy with God the Father. You know what I mean? So now it resulted in having inappropriate, illegitimate, toxic relationships with other people. Promiscuity sets in. Now all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to find stuff to satisfy you. From one guy to the next guy to the next guy. Then you're having babies. Then you're doing this. Then you're doing that. And the next thing you know, you're looking back at your life and say, wait a minute. I done messed my whole life up, but it ain't the end. God is able to restore. God is able to take you right back. Listen, he'll take you right back to the place of intimacy with him where all things in your life can become all brand new. Come on, somebody say amen. Stand to your feet today. I'm telling you right now. Somebody say association, communication, participation, and revelation. You ever heard somebody say, I just don't like to talk? Raise your hand if you heard people say that. You know what they're saying to you? I lack intimacy. I'm closed off. Now, I'm just being real with y'all. That's what they're saying. I'm closed. I'm not one of those people who like to talk. Well, if you don't like to talk, it means you lack intimacy. You know what I mean? What they're actually saying, in other words, they're saying, I don't want nobody to get that close to me. Mm-hmm. Now, it should not be like this in the church. In the church, watch this. If intimacy is appropriated properly, here's what's going to happen. It's going to result in us being able to feel and sense the needs of each other. Because if I'm intimate with you, I know you. I didn't bring this out in Ephesians chapter 3. He said that we might know the love of Christ. The word know means to be intimately acquainted with the love of Christ. And then he said that you might be filled with fullness. Somebody say fullness. The word fullness means God wants to make you complete in every area. Every area. Watch this. Say this. Say nothing missing. Nothing broken. And you may be going through some broken things right now in your life, but I'm telling you right now, God's love wants to fix every broken area. God's love wants to fix every crack in your life. And you know what? I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm just going to say this right here. How many ever, raise your hand if you ever said, God, I want to change. You know what God responds with us? What? We say, God, I want to change. You know what he'll do? He'll send a relationship to you. It's impossible for you to change by yourself. We were created to be interdependent, yet God dependent. Watch this right here. So he'll send a relationship to you. Why? Because a friend will sharpen the countenance of his own friend, like steel sharpens steel. So we use the word friend loosely. That's my friend. On the street, we said, that's my homeboy, that's my homegirl, that's my partner, whatever, you know. Back in the day, we said, that's my ace, boom, coon, scoon. You know, we say just stuff like that. You know what I mean? But whenever I had a friend that I was intimate with, if we got beefed out, we didn't cut each other off. We might be mad for a couple of minutes, but like, man, I love you, man. Come here, man. I love you. You know, same thing with a marriage. When you're intimately acquainted with that person in that relationship, you don't cut them off. You might be mad with them, but you can't hold that anger. You know why? Because you love them. You're intimately acquainted with them. So the world wants us to get rid of intimacy. Come on, somebody say amen. This is why the pornography thing is so high. Video games are so high. Because we're getting intimate with things that don't require us to change. Watch this. If you're around somebody who won't tell you the truth, then they're not truly a friend. You can tell who is your real friends when you start to change. Because everybody will be your friend when you're the life of the party. Everybody will be your friend when you're spending money. Everybody will be your friend when you're doing dirt with them. But when you step away and say, you know what, I want to change, then if they really your friend, they'll say, look, man, I respect that, man. Right now, I don't want to change, but I respect that right then. I'm not going to try to do, they ain't going to try to pull you over into their snake pit. Because they love you and they care about you. See? And guess what? Because, oh, Holy Ghost, I really want to stop because I know some people like, he taking so long, but watch this right here. You know, when we lack intimacy, we mistake correction for rejection. We think it's rejection because we've never been intimate. You got to catch this right here. I've never been intimate with somebody, so when they come to me with love and they speak the truth, I cut them off because I accept it as rejection. Well, I'm not truly a friend. Lord, have mercy. See, I'm not truly a friend if I don't tell you, listen, man, your breath stinks. My wife is my friend. She said, baby, go brush your teeth. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Now, I don't mean you just walk up to him and say, look here. You know what I mean? Ooh, dragging. I don't mean you do that. I didn't say do that because my stuff be dragging sometimes. You know what I mean? But if you love him, pull it to the side. Hey, man, you know, you might want to address this right here, man. I'm saying, I love you, man. I say, you tell me, right? Yeah, I feel you, man. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Amen. Am I telling the truth, y'all? But because we lack intimacy, nobody can speak into our life. Because every time somebody come with love and try to bring correction, we reject them. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I love you, so I want to help you. Just like I expect you, if you love me, come help me. Don't cut me off because I did something wrong. You don't cut me off all the time because guess what? A few weeks from now, I'm going to do something else wrong. And then something else wrong. Why? Because I'm growing. I'm flawed. I need help. I desperately need Jesus myself, and I'm a pastor. I have not arrived yet. I have not apprehended that which he has apprehended me for. I'm still on this journey, just like you're on this journey. That's why we need love. Because God's kind of love, when you mess up, I'm going to brush you off. You know what I'm saying? You good, God, take a little bite right there, and then get right back up over here and go over there and get on the usher team over there and get accountable. You know, go work in the children ministry and get accountable. Get on the outreach team and get accountable. Amen. And see, we cannot take away accountability in the church of God. Because God wants to get us to a place where all of us have all things in common and there's no lack. Everybody's needs are met. Their families are whole. Fathers are being restored to their children. This is why the young women lack intimacy. You know what I mean? Because no father in their life. Young men lack the ability to be accountable. You know why? No father in their life. Amen. We're going to fix that in Jesus' name. I promise you, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to fix it in Jesus' name. 2012 is the year of government. It's the year of the kingdom of God in its totality, its advancement. Every prayer that has ever been prayed, you know what? I believe right now confidently, and I'm going to say it publicly right now. I believe that the prayers that saints have been praying, God has dropped something in me to create the answer for the whole world. I believe that. I'm not saying that I'm just Mr. Superstar. I'm not saying that. But I believe that the restoration of the hearts of fathers back to the children and giving proper identity is the most important message on the planet right now. I believe it. I don't believe there's no message more important than it. And I believe as we go into this year and we start taking young men and saying, you know what? Let's pull that thug mentality out of you. And I'm going to pull you over here next to me and get you accountable. Because guess what? God has a beautiful 36, 24, 36, or maybe whatever she is, beautiful in her mind, beautiful in all parts of life, wife for you. And you, young man, need to know how to treat her like she's a queen. Right now, you don't know how to treat her like one because you don't even treat yourself right. Come on, somebody say amen. Abuse is inevitable when you don't know the purpose of a thing. And right now, you are abusing yourself because you don't know your purpose. So guess what? You will take that abusiveness into that relationship and abuse her. So now we got to get men accountable to men. Come on, and we get them accountable, get women accountable to women. Amen. Can I be real? If you showing your cleavage, you don't love yourself. See, that's not holy, Pastor. Yes, it is. If you showing your cleavage, you don't love yourself. That's just real. Now we got to get you around some women to help you get accountable so you can develop intimacy, so you can know how to properly dress, because right now you don't know how to dress. And the reason why you don't know how to dress is because you're looking for somebody to love you. Look at me. Look at how I look. But guess what? They can't see you. You're hidden behind those masks. They can't see you. They can't really see you until they get intimate with you and they get married to you. And then they see you and they're like, I don't know who I married. I don't know who you are. I don't even want to be with you. That's not you. You wasn't the one that I saw at the club when you was out there. No, that wasn't her. That wasn't him. In Jesus' name, I declare it by faith. Every person in this ministry, in the name of Jesus, come on, submit yourself to the Lord right now. Raise your hands, close your eyes. Every person that's under the sound of my voice will leave this building unashamed, unafraid, fearless, and boldly stepping into intimacy with the Heavenly Father. Not afraid to be intimate with other people and be accountable, responsible, and then productive in Jesus' mighty name. I declare it by faith in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. If you're in this room right now,